Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your presence in this room, and we thank you, Lord, for the offering that has been received. We ask, Lord, that you would bless each home that it represents in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord, for your word that is forever settled in heaven. We ask, Lord, that you would challenge us with your word today. We thank you that your purpose will be fulfilled. In the name of Jesus, amen. The last number of weeks we've been dealing with the selfie life. I wish I had another week. I just love it when a plan comes together. And when we receive the word of the Lord. And when we get, you know, we're actually instructed line upon line, precept upon precept. We can't give you the whole package in a service, or else you'd be watching your watch and having a little snooze. So I can't give it to you all at once. So that's why we do these parts. But we've been talking about the selfie life through the life of Jacob. And I wonder how many have ever felt rejected. Anybody felt rejected at some point in your life? How many have ever felt frustration in your life? Many times, glory to God. Well, we're going to see that God can work through your rejection, and God can work through your frustration. And there's a part of the self life, we just call it the selfie life. There's a part of this self-life that so much of it is focused on us. But when we begin to see the plan and the purposes of God, we begin to see how it comes together. I used to watch the A-Team years ago. Anyone familiar with the A-Team? And the lad says, I just love it when a plan comes together. Well, you know, I think God is like that. He's watching his people go through their journeys, and he looks at the angels in heaven. I just love it when a plan comes together. Glory to God. Yes, so we want to walk through part of the story of Jacob. In particular, we're going to be looking at the marriage that he has with two sisters. I'm not going to get into all the ins and outs of what in the house, but I'm just going to give you the story and teach you what I see through this story. You can actually find the scriptures in, we're going to read parts of them, not the whole thing, but we'll read parts of Genesis chapter 29. You can read the story from verses 1 to 35, Genesis 30 verses 1 to 24. We will also look at, a little bit later, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, and Matthew chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, and verse 17, and also Matthew chapter 21, 42. Seems like a lot of scripture, but I'm not going to give them to you all at once. I just thought we would note the references now, but we will read Genesis chapter 29, verses 16 to 18. Now Laban had two daughters. The older daughter was named Leah. The younger was Rachel. Verse 17 says, there was no sparkle in Leah's eyes, but Rachel had a beautiful figure and a lovely face. Anybody know anybody like that? Verse 18 says, since Jacob was in love with Rachel, he told her father, I'll work for you for 7 years if you'll give me Rachel, your younger daughter, as my wife. Praise God. Mike, would you mind fixing? I got a bit of a ring here. Could you fix that for me? Thank you. In Genesis 29, verse 30, so Jacob worked 7 years to pay for Rachel. But his love for her was so strong that it seemed to him but a few days. After Jacob's encounter with God at Bethel, Jacob proceeds to the house of his uncle Laban. There he meets Laban's beautiful daughter Rachel. He falls in love with her, and Laban agrees to let Joseph work for him. Can you imagine? At the request of Jacob, to work 7 years. He agrees to let Jacob work for 7 years before Rachel's hand in marriage. Praise God. He works 7 years. But on the wedding night, Laban tricks Jacob and gives him his older daughter, Leah, instead. After waking up the next morning and discovers he has married Leah, Jacob goes to Laban, who agrees to give him Rachel also if he will work another 7 years. So Jacob had worked tirelessly for 7 years, expecting to take Rachel as his wife. However, he woke up to find himself lying next to Leah. Jacob himself was a trickster. But he had been tricked here. You ever heard that scripture verse? Whatsoever man sows, that will he also reap. This story, this illustrates that very fact, that we do sow the kind of things we will sow what we reap. If we live a lie, eventually we'll wake up lying next to a Leah. When we pretend to be something in order to get something, we'll work for one thing, but we'll wake up next to something else. In Genesis 29, verses 28 and 30, it says, "So Jacob agreed to work 7 more years. A week after Jacob had married Leah, Laban gives him Rachel also. So then Jacob sleeps with Rachel too. And he loved her much more than Leah. He then stayed, as he agreed, to work for Laban for an additional 7 years. Doesn't this sound like a family mess? Yeah. Some months ago, I preached here that God works best in a mess. This is a mess. Jacob's wives are actually, get this now, Jacob's wives are an illustration of law and grace. He had to work 7 years before marrying Leah. This illustrates that the law of the Old Testament was one of working to get God. But Jacob marries Rachel, and then he serves 7 more years for her. But this illustrates that the grace that we receive in Jesus Christ, we get God when we serve Him out of love. See? He had the relationship, and then he works, and then he goes on to fulfill his obligation. For by grace are you saved, not of works of righteousness that man can boast in himself. Leah was not loved by Jacob. She suffers rejection. She strives to do everything she possibly can do to win His love. She even tries to bear him many sons. She tries to give Jacob her maidservant to get more sons for her. But even after all the striving, even after all she tries to do, she still is not loved. We try and do all kinds of things. We feel rejection and have that rejection. And maybe there's been a rejection of a father or a mother or a sibling.
And we strive to do things that to help win their love.
But in this case, Jacob still didn't love her. All of us have faced some sort of rejection, like Leah. We tried to earn acceptance through achievements. We think that maybe the next job, getting the next, in a case of a student, the next A, or maybe it's you try to cook the most gorgeous meal that you possibly can to do the next thing that will make them finally accept us. But listen to me for a moment. What Jacob rejects, listen carefully, what Jacob rejects, God selects. What Jacob rejects, God selects. When God saw that Leah was not loved, He enabled her to conceive. God looks at what people don't want and says, I choose you. We have all the flaws. We have the defects that cause us to be rejected. But God chooses us. How does that work? The Bible says that even though we were in our sin, Christ died for us. Well, you turn to neighbor and say, that's good news. Praise God. We need to stop living to earn acceptance through achievement, because we're already accepted in Jesus Christ. Isaiah says it like this, that Jesus was despised and He was rejected. He was rejected and He was so rejected so that we could be accepted. God chose Leah, listen to this, to bear Judah. Yes. You know what Judah means? We did it this morning. Means praise. Praise the Lord. Do you know? This is an awesome thing. Because from that line of Judah, God brought forth Jesus, the Savior of the world. When God wants to bring Jesus to a generation, do you know He always chooses the Leahs, the rejected ones? We are a chosen people, set apart to bring Jesus to the world. When you read Matthew chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, it says, and this is a record of the ancestors of Jesus the Messiah, a descendant of David and of Abraham. And Abraham was the father of Isaac, and Isaac was the father of Jacob. And Jacob was the father of Judah and his brothers. Wow. God can work in a mess. Praise God. And God can bring forth praise out of something that, I mean, well, it just can't be done. That's in our mind. How does that work, see? But then you see, we read that in Genesis chapter 29, 17, it says, there was no sparkle in Leah's eyes, but in Rachel had a beautiful figure and a lovely face. Rachel was a beautiful woman. But do you know what she struggles with? She's frustrated because she has a barren womb. She went to extremes to get a son, even selling Leah a night with Jacob. You know that it's possible for us to be like a Rachel outwardly. We look good on the outside. We think when we look on the outside, we've got it together. But inwardly, there's hurts and there's stuff that we have dealt with that bring us frustration and pain. But just because someone looks nice on the outside, from the inside, it doesn't mean they're fruitful. We all struggle with something, and we need to be careful thinking someone else's life is so perfect. We have no idea what they go through. You and I both know we live in a world that emphasizes external beauty so much that many people think they have it all figured out of how to be liked. But they really don't like themselves. But let me tell you something. God uses it all. These sisters struggle with rejection and frustration, and it results in a big, complicated family mess. But while they all see the mess, God sees a nation being formed.
Wow!
Shannon and I leave for Israel next Sunday to be in a nation that God birthed out of a mess. That gives you hope and assurance that God can do stuff. He can do almost the impossible in a mess. Yes, He can. God saw the nation of Israel being formed. The 12 sons that came from these sisters became the 12 tribes of Israel. And God works through this mess to fulfill His promise to Abraham. We need to remember that in those moments of rejection and frustration, we need to remember it really is not about us. It's about something much greater. My God works through everything in our lives. And He can work through the good, bad, and the ugly. That's a good place to say, praise the Lord. Whew. He can work through the good and the bad and the ugly to build His kingdom on earth. In Matthew 21, verse 42, Jesus said to the people that were around Him, Didn't you ever read in the Scriptures that the stone that the builders rejected has now become the cornerstone? Then it says, this is the Lord's doing, and it is wonderful to see. That's what He says. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, it says this. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making His appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we tell people or when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin so that we could be made right with God through Christ. That's a good place to say, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. What God has done, and He appeals, it's not His will that any should perish, but that all come to have everlasting life. And yes, I know, this world is in a mess. Just like the family mess way back in Jacob's time, the world is in a mess. We read it from Habakkuk during a Wednesday night study of the awful things that were going on at the day, and how the Lord allowed a foreign nation to come in and overtake them and brought a lot of ruin. Boy, Habakkuk, he looks at all this and he's praying. He's asking God why. He's not asking God why from a standpoint of unbelief or fear. He's just interested to, Why are you doing this? But then in the end, when you read through the entire book of Habakkuk, which we did on Wednesday night, by the way, Wednesday night is a wonderful place to go to not only have fellowship, but it's a place to go where we can learn from God's Word. Thank you, Jesus. And we can discover the truths in it. And it actually is to be a time of the gathering. It can be as large as a Sunday service. Glory to God. And it's wonderful that when you get together, Brother Murray is going to be doing the Bible studies on the two Wednesday nights that we're away. You ought to go. You ought to go so that you can see what God is saying and you can study and you can pray. Glory to God. And be a part of that gathering on Wednesday nights. 1 Peter 2, chapter 2, verse 9 and 10 says, for you are. It doesn't say you might be. Well, I could be. It says you are a chosen people. Again, you are. Doesn't say you might be, could be. I'll raise you up someday. Maybe you'll look like it one day. It says you are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others, glory to God. Here it is. You can show others the goodness of God. What did we sing? You are good. Good. Oh, glory to God. We're supposed to show forth the goodness of God. Why do we do things like Pauline's story? Why do we do this? So that people would know of the goodness of God. It's one small way that we have of getting the news out. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for He has called you out of darkness. Doesn't sound like we're very good in the beginning, does it? He's called you out of the darkness into His wonderful light. Do you know where light shines best? Light shines best in darkness. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works. So, He's called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Once you had no identity as a people, now you are God's people. Once you received no mercy, now you have received God's wonderful mercy. Wow. What situation are you going through? What things, frustrations are you going through? I'm here to tell you that God works best in a mess. And He'll work in your mess if you will commit your life to Him. Sell out to Him. You know, He's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, and beyond even your reasonings. Glory to God. The Lord can be your shepherd. Like the David said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You come to a place and you're completely satisfied with Jesus. I got to tell you, I noticed it when Shannon first got the news about Sammy, who we've been praying for. And I'll be honest with you, there was a moment when I felt fear rising up. But when that happened, I begin to think about the bigness of our God. Peace come all over me. I wasn't praying out of fear. I was praying out of the shalom peace of God. You can have that shalom peace. The things when you encounter the frustrations and the things that come on you in life and the rejections and all that, you can have that shalom peace that God will undertake for you. Glory to Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It happened again when we got the news about my son. And I felt it. I felt that thing rise up. But immediately I begin to think about the bigness of our God. If you focus on the problem, you can get discouraged. You can get, my goodness, you can be a mess. You can be a basket case if you think about the problems. But you begin to focus and to turn your eyes upon Jesus. Like the song says, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. And I'm here to tell you it works. Glory to Jesus. It works. He's good. He's good. Oh, He's good. Glory to Jesus. And when I begin to think of and dwell on the goodness of God and the bigness of God, that thing, that anxiety, that fear that was trying to uprise, boy, I felt the shalom peace of God. Shalom, complete peace. It's a peace that surpasses all understanding. The Bible says it guards your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Please stand. My wonderful and gracious and holy Heavenly Father, we come to you and in through the mighty name of Jesus. May your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your word in Deuteronomy 28 says that you command blessing on people that will follow your ways. So I pray for just that, that your people would be found before you following in your ways. And I pray that as they do, I pray, O Lord, that you will bless them and protect them, sustain them, and guard them. I pray, O Lord, that you would make your face to shine upon them with your favor. I pray, O Lord, that you would be gracious to them and surround them with your loving kindness. I pray, O Lord, that you would lift up your countenance upon them with your divine approval and give them peace of heart, mind, and body. I pray, O Lord, that your people will reach the purpose for which you created them. I pray, O Lord, that you would give them courage above their peers. I pray, O Lord, that your people would have more passion for your things than others think necessary. I pray, O Lord, that your people would dream dreams more than others think practical. I pray, O Lord, that your people would expect more than others think possible. I pray, O Lord, that your people will see things that others don't know even exist. I pray that your people would bless their children and that they would become giants under your mighty hand. I pray, O Lord, that you would bless your people in their rising up and their sitting down, in their going out and their coming in. I pray, O Lord, that you would bless them and that your blessings would come upon them and overtake them, whether they are in the city or in the country. I pray, O Lord, that their offspring, their ground, and their animals would be blessed. I pray, O Lord, that you would bless the works of their hands. I pray, O Lord, that those who rise up against your people would be defeated. I pray that your love would work in them, your love would work through them, and your love would work for them. I pray that according to 1 Corinthians 13, into action for them, that love never fails. So I pray that your people would not fail and that they would remain in your love. I pray, O Lord, that you, by your Spirit, would help them to be one as you are one. And I thank you for that anointing that comes as well as we dwell together in unity. Thank you, Lord, that your promise, according to Deuteronomy 28, that says if we would be diligent, if we would diligently obey you, thank you for your promise that your blessing would overtake us and run us over. So now give your word, O Lord. Give your wisdom, give them strong obedience, that through that obedience your blessing would run them over and overtake them and also run someone else over as they bless them for your honor and for your glory and for your praise in Jesus' name. And I pray that according to Psalm 122 for the shalom peace of Jerusalem, and I thank you, Lord, for your protection upon them and for your word that says that those who love them and those who bless them, you will bless. So I thank you and I pray this in the name of Jesus, the Anointed One. Amen. 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 God bless you. God bless you. God bless you.